Sundays. I don't know. Well, anyway, this will be my fourth effort on strong women of the Scripture. And this lady here is not named. She is nameless in the Bible. Isn't that interesting? Her name is not in lights anywhere. Her name is not on a marquee. A lot of the Bible scholars think this was Mary Magdalene here in Luke chapter 7. That may be the case, but we're not told her name. But she is a very strong woman in the Lord. Now, I'm going to try to read this with minimal commentary, and then I want to, there's four things I'd like to, I don't know. Y'all really pray for me, I'm telling you. Verse 36, Luke chapter 7, and of course what this is when the Lord goes to the house of Simon the Pharisee. Simon the Pharisee invites him home for supper, and while they are having supper, this woman comes in where they were. And she was notorious in the town. I would not have any difficulty accepting that she was a harlot or something notorious in the town. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. That is, he desired Christ. This Pharisee's name is Simon. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. Now, that's like saying water's wet. Right? So I think this means, I mean, everybody's a sinner. The only person that ever lived that wasn't a sinner is our Lord. And by the way, that's my only hope. Seeing God in peace ever is because of Christ. The only way Christ could have ever loved me, I'm sorry, the only way God could ever love me was in Christ. It does not flabbergast me that God hates people. What flabbergasts me is that He loves them. I hope you can say amen to that. Anyway, when it says she was a sinner, it means she was a notorious sinner in town. And I tell you what else I think it means. I think it means she knew it. She knew she was a sinner. You know, you can be a sinner and not know it. Say amen. Unregenerate people are sinners, but they don't know it. So while they're at supper at this Pharisee's house, this woman, which was a sinner, notice now, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment. And stood at his feet. Now that does not mean she literally stood there, but it means she stayed there. At his feet, behind him. Now that's probably because they were more or less reclining as they were eating. And you know, the Lord was more or less reclining at the table, reaching out the table here, and then his feet were more or less behind him. This woman, are you listening? Comes in this Pharisee's house. She's a notorious sinner in town. She comes in the Pharisee's house, and I'm wondering if it might have ever entered her mind what the Pharisee would think of her, or what anybody in the crowd would think of her. Be that as it may, I'm thinking, you know, in her heart, she was saying, well, they may think I'm crazy. They may think I'm the lowest of the low. They may think I'm the scum of the earth. But I'm going to go where Jesus is. He's over there and I'm going. Come what may, let them think what they may, I'm going to be where Jesus is. Are you listening? Is she strong? She is so strong, even at this point, in my opinion. So I'm telling you right now, there are lots of God's children who do not come to where Jesus is. For whatever the reason. Okay. She came in there and she stood at his feet behind him, weeping. And began to wash his feet with tears. She must have been crying profusely if she could wash his feet with her tears. What do you think? And did wipe them with the hairs of her head. And kissed his feet. And anointed them with the ointment. Does that not astonish you? Does it not just astonish you that this woman would actually do this? Come into a Pharisee's house, no doubt, maybe somebody well known in town, I have no idea, in a nice fancy house. In among the crowd, no matter who's there, no matter what they think. And come, wash Christ's feet with her tears, dry them, use her hair for a towel. Anoint his feet with the ointment that she brought and kiss his feet right there in front of, if you'll forgive me, God and everybody. Now, this Pharisee over here who is a, you know what the Pharisees are. They are holier than thou. They sneer down their nose at people. They think they're better than other people. A Pharisaical attitude is not a good thing. Amen. I tell you what we're supposed to think. We're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. We're not supposed to think more highly of ourselves than we do our brothers and sisters in Christ. We're supposed to put them above ourselves. In a marriage relationship, the husband is supposed to think more highly of his wife than he does himself. And the wife is supposed to think more highly of her husband than she does herself. And that is a recipe for a great marriage. Simon, now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw this woman, he spake within himself. Here's what he's thinking. Here's his thoughts. Saying, this man, speaking of Jesus, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him. I ask you, did Jesus know? Did Jesus know what manner of woman it was? Boy, did he ever. He knew exactly what her sin was. He knew exactly what her complications were. He knew what her problem was. And I'll tell you what else he knew. He knew the motive for which she had come. She had not come in there to be seen of men. She had come in there to seek repentance and show her love for her master and her Lord and her Redeemer. Simon saying, look, if he knew what kind of woman she is, he would not allow this, for she's a sinner. Well, so when Simon says she's a sinner, he means she's really a notorious sinner. Ironically, Simon is himself a very great sinner. You know what the difference is between the two of them? She knows it, and he does not realize exactly how great a sinner he really is. Would you not agree with me that his attitude of condescension toward her and his attitude of condescension toward the Lord is in and of itself a sin? Sure it is. He's guilty of a very terrible sin. In fact, maybe even worse than her sin. I mean, I don't know. There are worse sins than others. Yes, there are. Absolutely. He's guilty of a sin, but he's looking down at her. And looking down at the Lord. Well, Jesus, who is not surprised or by anything and knows everything, reads this guy's mind. He reads his mind. Well, now that's when I think about that, that kind of, you know, gives me the shiver diggers. At times it's comforting to know that the Lord knows my thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows that I want to serve Him and worship Him and honor Him. He knows what I need. He knows what I need to pray, even when I don't have words. But it also scares me to death that when I have evil and bad thoughts, the Lord knows that as well. Are you with me? The Lord read this guy's mind. He says, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Man, I think, if the Lord's got something to say to you, man alive. And he said, Master, say on. Now, then the Lord tells a story. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. So he got this guy over here, he got two people that owe him money. The one owed him 500 pence and the other 50. So the one owes him a lot of money, the one owes him a little bit of money. And when they had nothing to pay, both of these people who owe him money have nothing to pay. He frankly forgave them both. So he forgives the one guy his debt of 500 pounds. He forgives the other guy his debt of 50 pounds. Forgives them both. Tell me therefore, Simon. The Lord does not say, you smarty britches, which is probably what I would have said. Listen, smarty pants. He didn't say that. The Lord says, tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. Okay, in other words, which one of those debtors is going to love the guy the most? The guy that owed 500 or the guy that owed 50? Well, Simon says, probably the guy that owed 50. In other words, it's amazing. The guy that owed 50, I'm sorry, I just said that backwards. The guy that owes 500 is going to love him the most because you'd seem like, well, he's been forgiven more. He's been forgiven the most, and therefore he's going to have the most powerful emotions of love and thankfulness for what he's been forgiven. He's been forgiven a lot. This other guy's just been forgiven of a little. And what the Lord is fixing to lay on him is attitude. Attitude. Simon said, I suppose him who forgave most, and he, that is Christ, said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. You're correct. And he turned to the woman. Christ turns to the woman now, who's still, are you listening? Still weeping at his feet, wiping his feet with the hairs of her head, sobbing her heart out of love for Christ and contrition for her sin. And he turned to the woman and he said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? See this woman? I entered into thine house, Simon. Thou gavest me no water for my feet. That, by the way, was practically an insult. When someone came into your home and you didn't give in that culture and you didn't give them water to wash their feet and refresh themselves as they came into your home, that was a practical insult. And what Simon is doing, he's telling by his actions what he thinks of Christ. Now I want you to listen. I am not saying this man is unsaved. I'm saying he does not think as highly of Christ as he ought to, because he's too big for his own philosophical britches. I came in here, Simon, and you gave me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Simon has just been condemned. This woman, verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss. That was a common greeting. Kiss each other on both of the cheeks. You know, you've seen that. That was a very common greeting. Simon didn't greet Christ with an holy kiss. Thou gavest me no kiss, Simon. But This woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, the Lord, notice please, Jesus Christ never minimizes sin. He never says that sin isn't sin. He never says that. He never minimizes it. He says, yes, her sins are many. But I say unto you that her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Now, of course, Christ knew that. Christ is the one that forgave her, of course. But what is the point Christ is really after? I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven because, or for, she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Now, that has to be qualified. In the ultimate and final sense of the word, we are all guilty of the same horrible sins. And all of our sins mount up, and they're enough to send us to hell. But what he's talking about is what we know and understand about it. Simon was just as guilty as she, maybe guilty of even worse sins than she, but he was unaware of it. She was guilty of great sins, but she knew it and knew she had been forgiven. And because she knew she had been forgiven, she loved Christ a lot. Are you listening? Simon, who maybe even had been forgiven but was unaware of it, didn't love Christ very much because he was thinking, I don't have very much to be forgiven. Look at me, I'm doing so good. I'm doing so well. I keep the law. I do this, I do that, I do this, I do that. So he didn't think he was doing bad. Are you with me? In other words, knowing sinners, she knew she was a sinner. Simon needed to know that more than he did. Y'all follow what I'm saying? For she loved much. Jesus Christ is saying she loves me a lot because she's like that guy that was forgiven 500 pounds. That's the reason she loves me so much. That's the reason she's here at my feet. That's the reason she's gone to this trouble. That's the reason she's risked embarrassment. She's risked public ridicule to come here and lie at my feet and do these great things for me. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he says to her, Christ says to her, thy sins are forgiven. But they that sat at meat, you know, being Pharisees, they just don't get it. They just don't get it. What do they say? They say, well, who is this that forgiveth sin also? Who is this guy that says he can forgive sin? Well, that's a real good question, because in the ultimate sense, they even knew that only God can forgive sin. In the ultimate and eternal sense, they knew that. So these people, they're smart enough to know Jesus Christ telling this woman, thy sins are forgiven, is he's acknowledging, that is, Christ is acknowledging that he's God. And they didn't like that. And he said to the woman, in spite of that, in spite of all that, what does Christ say to this woman? He says to her, thy faith hath saved thee. Now does he mean by that? Your faith, what you've done today, is why you're going to go to heaven? 1,000 times no. Y'all listen, she had to have been born again. Long before she came there, she had to have been born again to know she was a sinner, to feel her condemnation. She had to have been born again to love God enough to come to Christ, and she had to have been born again to have faith to act on in the first place. But he is saying that her faith, which led her to action, her love, which led her to action, her faith, her obedience, her coming to Christ, whatever you want us, all that she's done has saved her. Are you with me? Now I'm going to ask you, was she, in what she did and said to Christ, saved in a way that Simon the Pharisee was not saved? Absolutely. And I'm going to assume Simon the Pharisee was a child of God, whether he was or not, I'm going to assume, let's just say he was. But he didn't have the right, he didn't have the same attitude she did. See? He didn't have the same attitude. He didn't think of himself. He thought more highly of himself than he ought to think. He wasn't saved that day by worshiping Christ like she was. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Okay. Now, point number one. Just let me ask you. How much strength did it take? How much strength did it take for her, a renowned sinner? I mean, you know, I don't know. Used to be back in the old days that nearly every town had a town drunk. Right? Had a town drunk. And, well, you know. And I guess it used to be, had a town, a strumpet. You know, walker. I guess I want you to think about how much strength would it take for the town drunk or the town walker to come to church and confess his or her sins before God and everybody. How much strength would that take? Would you agree that it takes a little strength? How much strength did it take for this woman to come to Simon's house knowing he was a Pharisee, knowing what they would think of her, knowing what they thought of her? How much strength did it take for her to do that? To anoint Jesus' feet. How much love did she have for Christ? Is it not wonderful? I would ask you, which of the two was stronger, she or Simon? There's no question. No question, no doubt about it. This woman is very strong in the Lord, even though she was a notorious sinner. Is that possible? Did she need to clean up her life? Did she need to clean up her life? Of course! The Lord did not condone her sin. Remember he said, her sins are many. The Lord didn't condone her sin. The Lord did not condone the sin of the woman that was caught in adultery and brought to him. He didn't condone her sin either. Remember he said, go and sin no more. Of course she needs to do better. And incidentally, she'll be happier if she'll do better, won't she? She'll be happier. She won't have as much sorrow, won't have as much grief. Of course. But I'm telling you, this woman loved Jesus so much. She knew who he was. She knew that she knew where she needed to be. And that was, she needed to be lying, weeping, in submission and sorrow for her sins at the feet of her master. Let me ask you, was there any better place on this earth than she could have been at that time? There was no better place that she could have been. Okay. She manifests her love for Christ by what she does, doesn't she? She manifests or proves her love for Christ by what she does. She loved Christ. She knew who he was. She loved him. She knew who he was. She wanted to be in his presence. And let me pause to say, sometimes people don't want to come to Christ and they don't want to come into the presence of the Lord and they don't want to come to the light because their deeds will be exposed. Even maybe just to themselves. This woman wanted to come to the Lord. Was she strong? I'm telling you, she was strong. Oh my goodness. So she came to the Lord, manifesting, proving her love for him. By the way, she didn't love the Lord in order for the Lord to love her. Who loved whom first? Tell me. We love him because he first loved us. She loved Christ because Christ loved her first. And she didn't come to the Lord. And by the way, it is really interesting. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. But it's really interesting that the Lord did not say to her, you know, if you'll just accept me as your personal Savior, you'll be saved. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be hard to get along with. Looks to me like there's been a great time for the Lord to say that if she needed to be eternally saved. No, the fact of the matter is, she had been eternally saved or she would not have felt this guilt. She had been eternally saved or she would not have loved Christ. She had been eternally saved or she would not have known that that man at that Pharisee's house was Messiah. She had been eternally saved or she would not have loved him to that degree and been willing to shame herself really in public eye in order to come to where Christ was. Can you say amen to that? I want you to know it. But she loved Christ and she manifested her love to Christ by what she did. She came to where he was. She came to where he was. If we love Christ enough, we will come to where he is. Are you with me? Don't you just want to be where he is? I'm not, and y'all, I don't mean heaven. Of course, how many of you want to go to heaven? All of you raise your hand. I want to go to heaven. I am so ready. I'm ready to go to heaven. And if the Lord wants to take me out of here before I finish this sermon, that's okay with me. I also would love to hold James. And I would like to go to Alaska with Becky. We're gonna ride a train and look at whales maybe. And hopefully Becky will protect me from the grizzly bears that want to eat me for supper. I want to do all that, sure. I think that's normal. I think it's normal to want to live a good long life and be blessed of God. But I'm telling you right now, heaven's better than any of that. And I think when I get to heaven, if I miss that, I won't be missing it. If you understand what I mean by that. Heaven is going to be just right. Or to quote Brother Fulmer, it's going to be better than anything you can think of. It's going to be better than that. That's the way Brother Fulmer used to preach it. It's going to be better than anything you can think of. Say amen. And so I'm not talking, when I'm asking you, do you want to be where Jesus is? I don't mean heaven. I mean where you live. Do you want to be where Jesus is? Do you want to be where he is? Do you want to lie at his feet? Do you want to pour your heart out in love to your Savior? Sure you do. But you know what? We let things keep us from it, don't we? Y'all know I finally preached my sermon on Susan Dennis's statement, Diana's statement, my dad's statement out in Oklahoma City. You know, some of us have too many ducks. We need to get fewer ducks. Fewer ducks so we can spend more time at the feet of Jesus. Amen. She not only came to where Jesus was, she brought an expensive gift. She brought an expensive gift. You know what David said one time? David said one time, I will not offer to the Lord that which cost me nothing. If we give something to the Lord and it doesn't cost us anything, we haven't given him much. Amen. Amen. And you know what? These days, it seems like it's easier to get people to write a check than spend time in the service of God. She wept in sorrow for her sin. And y'all, she wasn't in at home in the closet. You know, y'all remember the movie War Room? And the woman would go to her closet and pray and weep and write notes. This woman wasn't in her closet at home praying. She was right out in public, weeping her heart out before them all. Her love for Christ and her sorrow for her sin. Lots of God's children won't do that. We let pride keep us from it. We can let pride keep us from it, can't we? Where was this woman's pride? Where was her pride that could have kept her from doing this? She didn't let human pride keep her from falling at the feet of her Lord and Savior. Are you listening? Wow. She washes his feet with her tears and uses her hair as a towel. I cannot help but think about that because I know the scripture says a woman's hair is given for, it's her glory. It's given her for her glory. And I'm telling you, she is using her very glory as a lady to dry the feet of her Lord and Savior. I ask you, did she have the right attitude? is she not strong in the Lord? And she kissed Christ's feet. You say, that's gross. Not if they're Christ's feet, it's not. And she does all this because she has already been forgiven of her sins. She, isn't it amazing? It's not recorded here that she uttered a single word. We're not told that she uttered any word to Christ. Have you ever been in that kind of situation where there's something was weighing on you so heavily that you came to Christ and you couldn't even speak? You just wept your heart out. Well, I tell you, Christ was listening. He knew exactly what you were saying when you couldn't even talk. Do we have a great God or what? Do we have a great Savior? Do we have a great high priest? One that can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. One who went through stuff more than we'll ever go through. He knows what you're going through. He's been there and done that. And he's been through more than you will ever go through. So you don't have to go through it. Are you listening? He's a great Lord. I say to you today, where this woman was is where I want to be. It's where I want to be. And I want to be at the feet of Christ with her attitude and her heart and her love and knowing that I have been forgiven of my sins as well as she. She was in the very best place she could be. Maybe of all the people there that night, she was in the best place. And a lot of people would look at her and say, what that hussy? What does she think she's doing? Doesn't she know that's Christ? What is she wanting to do to get close to Christ? She is going to defile him. He will be defiled. She came to him, are you with me? She is very great. She is very strong. Was she a sinner? Of course. Was she strong and in the Lord and in the power of his might? Well, absolutely. I don't know that there's anything else in the scripture about what happened to this woman, but I would really love to know the rest of her story, wouldn't you? I would love to know the rest of her story. You know, if she found a church, if she joined the church, if she spent her life following Christ, if she was baptized and so forth, I'd love to know all of that, but we're not told that. All we're told is this incident right here about the life of this wonderful woman. So strong in faith. Simon, on the other hand, does very, very little for Christ. I guess he just invites him to supper and that's about it. And he thinks, as I've already mentioned, that he has very little, if anything, to be forgiven of. He has one of those holier-than-thou attitudes, which God says is a smoke in his nose. That's what God describes a holier-than-thou attitude, smoke in your nose. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, I love to smell wood smoke at a distance. But when it goes up my nose, I don't like that too good. Right? That's how God feels about a holier-than-thou attitude. May I say that we as Christians must not have a holier-than-thou attitude. Are you listening? If the town drunk comes to Point Remove, I know how you would treat him or her, because I know how you are. And you would not look down on that individual and you would treat them with love. And the reason you would do that is because you know you have been forgiven of maybe even far worse. So that attitude, knowing we've been forgiven, is that which will help us and allow us to treat other sinners as we ought to. To know that saved by the grace of God, there go I. Are you with me? Last thing that the Lord says to her blows my mind. Thy faith hath saved thee. Now I'm going to say one more time. She was a saved person, a child of God, someone in possession of eternal life, someone who had been born again before she ever got there. She would not have wanted to come to Christ if she had not already been a born-again, heaven-bound child of God. Are you with me? I hope you believe it. But Jesus did say, thy faith, your faith, has saved you this day. And then he tells her, go in peace. What? Oh, man. Tells her to go in peace. I think this is what was meant when the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. That's exactly what I think the angel meant. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. It is a salvation for a child of God. Did you know children of God still can get saved? Children of God can experience many, many, many different salvations in this life. Amen. I spoke to the youth at Tyler on trying to stay pure before marriage. I encourage young people to do that. And can I say that if young people will stay pure before marriage, it'll be a very great salvation for them. They will be saved from a lot of grief and heartache. Can you say amen? It's a great salvation in being ethically upright, morally pure, isn't there? Do you have to do that to go to heaven? Well, of course not. Are people going to be in heaven who are guilty? Well, when they get to heaven, they won't be guilty. But are there going to be people in heaven who transgress some of those laws while they were on earth? Of course. Of course. King David is one. Solomon is one. I can name others. Rahab the harlot is one. This woman here is probably one. Y'all with me? But I'm telling you right now, the children of God's children can obtain salvations innumerable while they live on this earth if they'll listen and do and walk by faith. And walking by faith, you will notice here, when the Lord says, thy faith has saved thee, it means far more than that woman just believing that Jesus was Messiah. Now that, of course, there's a great salvation in knowing that Jesus was Messiah. Amen? We don't have to, we're not waiting on Messiah to come. Hallelujah. We know Messiah has already come. I pity the Jews that are waiting for Messiah to come yet. We know Christ was Messiah, according to God's holy word. This woman knew that Christ was Messiah, but you know, she did more than just believe. Are you listening? She did more than just believe. When the Lord said, thy faith has saved thee, he meant far more than just believing. She did some things. Her faith saved her because she obeyed. She did what the Holy Spirit was leading her to do. She made some moves. Thy faith hath saved thee. I am saying it is a salvation for any child of God. It is a salvation for me and it is a salvation for you whenever we are in Christ's presence. And do we not, when we come to church, beg the Lord to meet with us? To manifest his presence to us, may I say, when the Lord meets with us on Sunday or Wednesday night, I'm telling you, that is a very great salvation for us, even though we're already born of God. That's a very great salvation, a very great deliverance, a very great blessing. This woman was in the presence of her Lord and Master, and as a result of that, she was saved that day. Are you with me? And think about how her attitude helped her. Did not her attitude help her get some salvation that the old haughty Pharisee didn't get? You know, the Pharisee, Simon himself, could have equally been at the feet of Jesus Christ weeping his heart out. But he didn't think he needed to. He didn't think he needed to. Can you imagine? It is a salvation for the child of God. when we can give our Lord expensive gifts. And I don't just mean monetarily. Now, Point Reboot has been well taught. You know you're supposed to give more than 10% according to the New Testament. You know that very well. You're very good at that. I honor you for that. But I'm talking about spiritual gifts that may cost us something. Services of God, services of Christ, services of the children of God, which may cost us something. Y'all understand what I'm saying? She brought an expensive gift because she loved the Lord so much. And it was a great salvation to her, and it'll be a great salvation for us as well. One of the preachers was talking to the youth down there, and he was just preaching about, you know, one way you can get people involved. And he said, put a mop in their hands. Give them a broom, a shovel. Tell people to sweep the floor. Go clean the bathroom. Tell people to get involved in the church and do something. And then they'll have investment in it, and they'll get more out of it. I say the more you put into church, the more you'll get out. The more you put in, the more you do. The more you'll get out of it. Costs us though, don't it? Costs us. It is a very great salvation when we can sorrow deeply and honestly for our sins. Does your flesh like that? Does your flesh ever want to do that? Does your flesh ever want to confess that what it does is not? No, it's the inner man that desires that. It's the inner man, the part of you which God gave you when you were born of God. That inner man which is created in righteousness and true holiness, it is grieved by the wickedness of the body that inhabits it. Amen. It is a very great blessing to sorrow and mourn for your sin, because according to the Bible, the child of God, especially the church member that mourns for his or her sin, shall be comforted. This woman came to Christ, mourned for her sin, and when she came to Christ mourning for her sin, she got the good news of the gospel. Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. That's exactly the message of the gospel. When the child of God comes to the Christ under the auspices of the local church, sorrowing for his or her sin, they'll receive that same message. That is, you wouldn't feel the way you feel if you weren't a child of God. Forgiveness is available for all the children of God. You've been forgiven of your sins. Go in peace. Sin no more. What greater message could you ever want to hear? And I would say, so it's a great salvation for us to mourn our sins. And y'all, it's also a great salvation when we can just lie down and stay at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for your good attention.